when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from the heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each of them heard speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show potents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, God of wind, and God of fire. Alleluia. 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 Amen. There is no day in the entire New Testament that is like this day, the day of Pentecost, a gathering of believers. All together we hear in one place
A church, as fit the definition then, a gathering of people, there's no pastor, no trustees, no finance committee, no building, no pews, no hymnals, no vacation Bible school, no organs, just 120 people in a second floor rented room gathered together. There's no Parthians handing out the bulletin and no Medes having a bake sale after worship. And none of them have had any training in the Holy Spirit. No seminary training, no app on a phone on how to react to the Holy Spirit. They're just a bunch of normal people gathered together in one place. Normal. Until they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then things get really crazy with the epiphany of the wind and the fire and all these different voices and all these different languages, Phrygians, Pamphylians, Asians, Egyptians, Libyans, Jews, Cretans, Arabs, all speaking at the same time. Translation, please. But wait, even though they're all speaking in different languages, it seems like they're understanding one another. They're understanding one another. So how can this be, and what was happening? And how were they hearing the same thing, but in different languages? Translation, please. Well, maybe some of you out there are like many others who say, this thing happened 2,000 years ago. It's kind of strange. We trust that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't bear much resemblance then to the church in 21st century America now. We could think that, but then we go to the scripture where Jesus says, I'm leaving, but in my absence, I'm sending a comforter to be with you, called the Holy Spirit. We could think that all that crazy stuff happened a long, long time ago and not to us, until we start to look at the people then compared to the people now, and it begins to look like there's not that much difference after all. We still have fear and isolation and a long list of nationalities. We have emotional Christians. We have judgmental Christians. We have those of us who have lots of flaws, and those of us who are still confused, and those of us who are embarrassing sometimes. So there's not that much difference in the people then and the people now. And those are the very people to whom God sent and sends the Holy Spirit. Those crazy people, we crazy people. Yes, that even includes the Methodist. And that's what makes the Holy Spirit so dangerous. Just like that first Pentecost, God still crashes in and hovers around like tongues of fire dancing on each of our heads, stuck there, inviting us to commune with the very people we try to avoid. So on this very dangerous Sunday, when we gather together in this one place to celebrate the crashing in of the Holy Spirit, the languages, the fire, we want you to feel it. Just as those 120 did then. We want you to feel it. And we want it so badly. Michael and Eric and I talked about it and did all sorts of things. And Eric even volunteered to walk on the catwalk above the ceiling up there and to lower the lights and to drop rose petals all over you during this service just like they do at the you know, the Pantheon in the Vatican. But we kind of thought the trustees and some city officials might object to that. But we wanted so badly to have anything that would convince each one of us that the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and it's the force that's capable of uniting all of us, because language is a problem. It is a problem. And it separates us from one another, and we need a translator. I have a friend who told me that when their little girl was just a few months old, her husband began to use just a little tiny bit of sign language with her. You know, more, thank you, just those things. And that one morning they went out to eat at McDonald's, and he started doing that with her, you know, more and thank you. And suddenly, across the other side of McDonald's, this woman comes rushing toward them. And she starts talking in sign language to her husband. Just all this kind of, and she's so excited because she's found somebody that speaks her language. And he's going, "I'm so sorry, ma'am. I just know more and thank you." Language is a problem. And just when you think that this all happened 2,000 years ago, somebody asks you, "Do you hear Laurel or do you hear Yanny?" And you go, "I don't know, let me check." And some of us hear Laurel and some of us hear Yanny. A few, if you do the little bass manipulation, can hear Laurel and Yanny. But it's that we haven't had anything this polarizing or this exciting since the dress, you know. Do you see, is it black and blue or is it white and gold? Yanny or Laurel, what's going on? No one truly knows where that audio clip came from, by the way. How many of you have listened to that audio clip? Oh, yeah, see, there you go. So nobody knows where it came from. I mean, was it the Russian bots or was it aliens that are trying to communicate with us from somewhere? We don't know. But actually, it does have a lot to do with what frequency we hear. Are we in the lower range? We hear Laurel usually. Are we in the higher range? We hear probably Yanny. And maybe we can adjust both. But also, we learn that our brains process differently, and that dictates what we hear. We can listen to the same thing, and our brains hear it differently. How is that possible? We can all be sitting here in this same room, and someone can be talking, and we will not hear the same thing. How is that possible? So I'm just wondering, when you hear one thing and you know that somebody else hears something else differently, do you think, "Oh, they must be hearing it differently," or do you think, "They're wrong"? Which one? We need translation. Please, Holy Spirit, come. And if we really want to stay attuned to the Holy Spirit, we need to see those tongues of fire dancing on top of the heads of whoever's speaking, or at least feel the fire within us. I have a clergy friend who's a great athlete and a great young boys basketball coach. And he loved for years and years, his team were the champions of their youth league. And then one day he got word, just as he was approaching the championship game for his boys, that every coach would have to play every player the exact same amount of time. Oh my goodness. He had always played his kids a lot, but not the same amount of time when it came to the real crucial points, because he had two little tiny boys on his team. They were just tiny, tiny, tiny. And so he played them when he could, but not together. And so he got the word right before that game against number 12, who can shoot over both of them stacked up. And he's, you know, have to play him the same amount of minutes, so of course he's not going to cheat. He said, "Okay, what am I going to do?" And he thought, he said, "Okay, boys, come here." He said, "Here's what we're going to do." He said, "Boys, you know what gnats are?" And they went, gnats. He went, yeah, you know, they're kind of like flies, but they're smaller. And they're just bzz, 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 all the time. And they're just right around you. And they won't ever let you go. And you can shoot them away if you want to. But no, they're just all over the place. I went, oh, yeah, we know what gnats are. He said, you're gnats. You're a couple of gnats. And he said, I'm sending you in on number 12. And you just get all around number 12. And you just drive them crazy and never give up. Don't ever quit no matter what happens. You got it? I said, got it. They won the championship. Truly. With us two. That's like the Holy Spirit. If we just believe it, that Holy Spirit, that buzz, is going to make a difference. We have to stay with it. The message this weekend from the Episcopal Bishop Michael Curry in the royal wedding, whose ancestors were slaves, as the brides were, he quoted Pierre Teilhard de Chardin on the discovery of the harnessing of fire, one of the greatest discoveries ever that made it possible to cook and to heat. And he said the advances of fire and technology greatly depend on the human ability to take that fire and use it for good purpose. If humanity, he said, ever harnesses the energy of fire, again, it'll be like discovering the energy of fire for the very second time in all of history. And to do that, he said, we must discover love, the redemptive power of love, because it will result in a whole new world. Jesus said he was sending the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. And he did call it at one time or another the Comforter. But I say to you that that Comforter does not bring warm chocolate chip cookies or a good night story. That Comforter called the Holy Spirit brings truth. And if you've ever had any experiences I have with having to discover the truth, particularly as it involves yourself, you can testify it's not exactly cozy. The Spirit is not quite the Comforter we like to think. It's the harbinger of truth, and it will mess us up, because we will have understood that we have to have those crazy, insane conversations with people who think so differently from us if we're going to address something like school shootings like we had here in Texas. And we'll have to go ahead and work to see that all that conversation translates into something productive, a step forward, a way forward. We can't even start to believe, friends, that the Holy Spirit happened 2,000 years ago. We have to trust that we have to have it now. We still need translation. We still need fire. School shootings, immigration, compassion for all children, crossing of color lines, crossing of country lines, gender lines, sexual orientation lines, all testify to the truth that we live in a world that has not yet learned how to surrender ego so that all others might receive love. The piano tuner here, Dan Reed, said to me recently, he said, you know, Jesus cracked that nut. And I said, what, Dan? What nut? And he said, that ego nut, don't you know? He cracked it. He gave it up. He sacrificed. And wonder when we can learn to do the same, he asked me. In other words, give up the power. Well, I take heart today. Our Stephen ministers with us are an example of those who have sacrificed for quite a while because they want to be there for you when anything happens in your life that you need an ear. You need a shoulder. I take heart today because each one of you out there loves grace, not for its building, but for preserving the tradition of the building that has come to say, we want to serve our community no matter how crazy looking our neighborhood gets, no matter how mixed up everything is. This is what we want to do. So we're committed. So I take heart that we will be here in 115 more years because of you and because of the Holy Spirit. We have to use that fire that's within us, or the fire that's dancing on top of our heads. We can't lose track of it. We have to stay with it because it's the language of love. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Send the wind and the fire. Amen.